The cool beat of Clouds Below Your Knees by Ray Lynch means it's Thursday, 10 p.m., and time for the Always Live So What's Your Story, the only program originating in Houston that is devoted entirely to storytelling, where tellers from tenderfoots to the tested take us on astounding journeys with profound personal narratives, enchanting folk tales, and everything imaginable in between. Only on listener-sponsored KPFT 90.1 FM. I'm your host, Dr. Hank Rubichek, Professor of Communication Studies at the University of Houston Downtown, with Shannon McKerchie running the boards, doing it for the first time alone, among a litany of other tasks. So if anything goes wrong, we're gonna blame it on Shannon tonight, right? Ha ha ha. Listen, you're missing something special tonight because scheduled guest, writer, and storyteller Yolanda Bridges needed to field an emergency but made me promise to reschedule her, and I assured her that I will. However, since special is our name, we're going to do something special and spotlight one of history's enduring storytellers, Danny Kaye. For those of you who are well into adulthood, punctuating boomers and beyond, the name Danny Kaye will make you smile. For you youngins that can't believe I want to devote an entire show to someone of whom you've never heard, consider yourself lucky, because David Daniel Kaminsky, his birth name, is as essential to appreciating storytelling as George Gershwin and Cole Porter are to valuing American music. Never heard of them either? Yes, you should be embarrassed, so get briefed fast. You know, unlike personal narratives told by tellers who live their stories, the great teller of a fairy tale and folklore lives the story vicariously through enchanted characters created by writers. The film Hans Christian Andersen, first shown in 1952, was one of the artistic layers that exposed Danny Kaye as one of those very rare storytellers. The opening scene of the movie describes it best. Once upon a time, there lived in Denmark a great storyteller named Hans Christian Andersen. This is not the story of his life, but a fairy tale about the great spinner of fairy tales. It's hard to know where to start when selecting an Andersen story told by Danny Kaye to play, so I'm going with one of my favorites, The Match Girl. It's a touching tale for the holidays that teaches something rather extraordinary. Shannon, if you'd be so kind, let's hear it.
It was New Year's Eve, and although it was terribly cold and the snow fell and the wind howled, people hurried happily along the dark street on their way home to the fine dinners of roast goose and all the other wonderful things to eat. Standing barefooted and shivering against a wall was a little match girl. In her apron, she held bundles of matches for sale. But none of the happy people who hurried past stopped to buy anything. She hadn't sold a single package of matches all day long. How cold her hands felt. If only she dared to take one of the matches from the bundle and rub it against the wall and warm her hands at the flame. Oh, how good that would feel. Before she knew it, she had slipped out a match and rubbed it against the wall. And it made a wonderful light, so warm and so cozy. It seemed now to the little match girl as though she sat in front of a great warm stove in which a splendid fire roared and sang. And then suddenly, was all gone, and it was once more cold and dark and miserable. Quickly, she rubbed the second match against the wall, and again the warm, happy light flared up. But this time, the wall behind her seemed to melt away, and she could look into the room beyond it. And the room was set for a gorgeous New Year's feast, with a big roast goose on the table and piles of fresh baked bread and pies and cakes. It was so warm and smelled so good. When, poof, out went the match. And once again, the splendid vision vanished. Oh, she could hardly get the next match out quickly enough. And with trembling fingers that were blue with the cold, she struck the match against the wall. This time she was sitting under a great, beautiful Christmas tree, glowing with lights and shining ornaments. Oh, it was breathtaking. Eagerly, the little girl stretched her hands out to touch the wonderful tree, and poof! It too was gone. All that was left was the wind and the snow and the awful cold, which seemed colder now than ever. She dared not waste another match, and yet, what could she do? Just one more, that would be all. Just one more, she promised herself. Went the match, and it became bright again. And in all the brightness, her dear, dead grandmother stood clear and shining, mild and lovely. Grandmother, cried the child, oh, take me with you. I know you will go when the match burns out. You will vanish like the warm fire and the warm food and the great glorious Christmas tree. And she quickly rubbed the whole bundle of matches because she wanted her grandmother to stay. The matches burned with such a glow that it was brighter than the middle of the day. And the grandmother took the little match girl in her arms, and both flew in brightness and joy above the earth, very, very high, up to where there was neither hunger nor cold. They were in heaven. And when the frozen little match girl was found the next morning, no one knew or could even imagine what a beautiful thing she had seen and to what a glorious new home she had gone with her grandmother on that New Year's Eve.
You know, I doubt if most children interpret the story as a peaceful approach of death, but the magical formula of a beautiful story with a troubling consequence is a precious gift rendered by the classic teller. You know, Danny Kaye was really a master of expression. He was able to take his voice, use his voice and body to communicate enraptured images into a cloud of magical, tender beauty, unlike anyone else. And he did that so well, especially with children's stories. This is Hank Rubichek with Shannon McKerchie, and you are listening to So What's Your Story, only on KPFT 90.1 FM Houston, or KPFT.org if you are listening online. But whatever channel you've chosen, we are thrilled that you've joined us. Shannon, I know that you knew the name Danny Kaye, but do you have any thoughts about how you would characterize the storytelling style?
Well, Danny Kaye, I think that he has the ability to relate with children, with a children's lack of inhibitions. That's what his daughter said.
Yeah.
And I think that describes it best.
Yeah, that's a really very, very good comment. That's a great remark because he really did. You were born, I think, just about a month after he died or something like that. Eight days. Thank you very much. Well, I was born the year that Hans Christian Andersen came out. So it's really embarrassing to think of how old I am and how young you are. But that's beside the point.
Don't worry about it.
But I saw so many of his films, and there were so many wonderful ones. Is there Inspector in the House, The Secret Life of Walter Mitty, White Christmas, of course. And he was able to really get people engaged by proximity. He was able to get people close to him, literally. And that's why it's a really good insight on your part. He had a way of getting people very close, both physically and emotionally. So that's a great insight, and you're absolutely right. He was truly a comprehensive artist, starring in 17 movies. He was noted for his signature patter songs, hosted the longtime favorite The Danny Kaye Show on CBS Radio. He hosted the 24th Academy Awards in 1952. He served as the first ambassador at large for UNICEF and so much more. But, you know, back to his telling, the Brothers Grimm also made an incredible impression on Danny Kaye. Rumpelstiltskin was collected by the brothers and published in the 1812 edition of Children's and Household Tales. And like most fairy tales, although Rumpelstiltskin is considered a folktale, original authors were oftentimes unknown. But the version that we know and love belonged to Jacob and Wilhelm Grimm. So let's get Mr. Stiltskin, a.k.a. Danny Kaye, on the air.
Once in a faraway land, there was a very, very poor man who had a very beautiful daughter. Now, it happened one day that he met the king, and he wanted to make himself seem rather important. "I," he said grandly, "have a daughter who can spin straw into gold." "How interesting," said the king. "Bring her to my palace, and I will put her to the test." When the girl was brought to him, he took her into a room full of straw, gave her a spinning wheel, and said, "If by tomorrow morning you have not spun this straw into gold, you must die." Then he locked the door and left her in the room, all alone.
"Oh, dear," cried the girl, "whatever shall I do?"
Because, of course, she had no idea at all how to spin straw into gold. But suddenly, the door opened, and in stepped a little man.
"Good evening, girl," he said. "Why are you crying so?"
"Alas, I have to spin this straw into gold, and I don't know how to do it."
"What will you give me if I do it for you?" asked the little man.
"I am very poor," she wept, "and I have nothing of value to give you."
"Well, then," said the little man, "will you promise to give me your first child if you should become queen?"
"Queen," thought the girl. "Me? I'll never become queen."
So she promised, and the little man sat himself in front of the wheel with a handful of straw. The straw became gold. He worked until daybreak, and by then all the straw was spun, and the room was full of gold. Early in the morning, the king came, and when he saw the gold, he could hardly believe his eyes. "This is only a poor man's daughter," he thought, "but where can I find a richer bride?" And he said to the girl, "You shall be my queen." So they were married. And a year later, they had a beautiful child. When the young queen's baby was exactly 1 week old, the strange little man suddenly appeared in her room.
"Now," he said, "you must give me what you promised."
"Oh, no. Anything else," cried the queen. "Take all my riches, but leave me my child."
And she wept and moaned and begged, and finally he said,
"Very well. I will give you 3 days. If in that time you can find out my name, you may keep your baby."
During the night, the queen lay awake trying to remember all the names she had ever heard. And when the little man came the next day, she began.
"Jonathan? Joseph? Jeremiah? Timothy? Titus? Obadiah? William Henry Walter Sim? Reuben Rufus Solomon? Jim? Nathaniel Daniel Abraham? Roderick Frederick Peter
Sam? Casper? Jasper? Nicholas? Pat? Christopher? Jack? Jehoshaphat?
No, 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 no. At last she had said all the names she knew, and the little man laughed and went away. That night, the queen sent a messenger out to discover every unusual name that anyone in the countryside knew of. And the next day, she had another long list.
Xavier, Xerxes, Zittleby, Zorch.
But the little man said, no, 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 no. And again, he went away. And again, the queen sent her messenger out. But when he came back on the last morning, he said, not another name have I been able to find, Your Majesty.
Oh, no, she wept, no.
But I did see something strange, said the messenger. Far out at the edge of the forest, I saw a little house. And in front of it, a bonfire was burning. And in front of the fire, a strange little man hopping on one foot and singing,
today I brew, tomorrow I bake, and then the young queen's child I'll take. Oh, oh, she'll lose the guessing game, for Rumpelstiltskin is my name.
Oh, thank you, cried the queen.
Soon afterwards, the little man appeared.
Now, Your Majesty, he thundered. What is my name?
The queen smiled.
Perhaps, Tom?
No.
Maybe Dick?
No.
Well, then, said Her Majesty, there's nothing left but
Rumpelstiltskin.
You guessed it, you guessed it, shrieked the little man. I won't have it, I won't stand for it. And he stamped his right foot into the ground so hard that he sank up to his waist. Then he stamped his left leg so hard that he disappeared completely.
And Rumpelstiltskin was never seen again.
I love that story. I really love that story. You know, it's, you know, we've done a number of shows, Shannon, I know you remember this, that really did showcase a lot of fairy tales and folk tales and fables. Oh, my. But we need to do a lot more, because this is just like having Rumpel sitting next to me. It's just, that was a great story, great story. And Shannon, anyone can learn to love all sorts of stories, can't they, if they learn about the Houston Storytellers Guild. So you're just the one to educate us, please.
Most definitely, Hank. That is I. The Guild is a loyal sponsor. ANS is the premier storytelling group in the state. They meet on the third Tuesday of every month from 7 till 8:30 p.m. at the Multi-Service Center at 1475 West Gray. Check out their site at thehoustonstorytellers.org for all the fun happenings, like Skyline Screamers coming up on Friday, October 31st, 7 p.m. At the Marnum Park, 18 and Heights Boulevard.
Yeah, I can't say it either. Everything has to be in phonetic form. It's Marmion Park.
Thank you.
And if you forget, again, it's www.houstonstorytellers.org, and you will not want to miss this. It is free, so the price has got to be right, but you want to bring your blankies to hide under when you get scared, because we got some great, great tellers that night. We really do. You know, I know that, Shannon, you're a proud member, and I've been a member since the turn of the century, and it really is a great group. You know, being professionally ambidextrous, speaking of Shannon, she's in charge of our So What's Your Story Facebook page, which you have to visit often, and like us on the way out. And what will our listeners find on Facebook? I know there's a whole lot, Shannon, but kind of, you know, give us the dirt.
Well, I research information about guests, special events, storytelling news, and one special event that's occurring this weekend is the National Storytelling Festival in Jonesboro, Tennessee, and it should be great fun for that group.
You mean the international?
It's the national.
It is the national. Okay, yeah, because that's where the National Storytelling Network is. And for people who don't know, and most don't, that really is the big thing. That is the big deal. Wonderful, wonderful tents all over the place with some of the funniest, most serious, most poignant tellers around. And it's also in a beautiful, beautiful part of the country, right in the Smoky Mountains. And, yeah, that's always a highlight of the fall. Always a highlight of the fall. And also, and there's something else that we have to tell you, which it seems like it was just yesterday, because it was. But the fun drives, and Shannon will be reminding you about that and reminding you a lot, I might add. And they begin on October 12th and the 16th for our show. But you don't have to wait until then. Just go to kpft.org, and then to donate, select a method of payment, and then scroll to select your story as the show we hope you designate as the one you want to support. Now, remember, we're only paid with the passion that we have for bringing you the best programs around. I mean, you don't tune in and think, well, they're not paid anything, so what do you expect? I mean, you want good stuff, and we want to bring it to you. But we need your help to keep us keep storytelling alive on Houston Radio. And I'm talking the only story show originating from this great city. You have stuff from The Moth, and you've got KUHF, and you've got a number of other things that are happening. But they're temporary, and they're not us. They don't define the Houston community, and this show does. It really does. Now, this next show, this next story, I should say, really does define Danny Kaye, because it's a song. And I had mentioned a few minutes ago about his patter tunes. His patter tunes are very rhythmic, and they were done extemporaneous. And I have a little bit more of a story about that right after Shannon plays this one.
Thumbelina, Thumbelina, tiny little thing. Thumbelina, dance. Thumbelina, sing. Oh, Thumbelina, what's the difference if you're very small? When your heart is full of love, you're 9 feet tall. Though you're no bigger than my thumb.
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 Sweet Thumbelina, don't be glum.
Don't be glum.
Now, now, now. Come, come, come.
Thumbelina, Thumbelina, tiny little thing. Thumbelina, dance. Thumbelina, sing. Oh, Thumbelina, what's the difference if you're very small? When your heart is full of love, you're 9 feet tall.
Than my
toe,
than my toe,
other
than my toe,
than my toe, other than my toe,
sweet Thumbelina, keep that glow, and you'll grow, and you'll grow, and you'll grow. Thumbelina, Thumbelina, tiny little thing. Thumbelina, dance. Thumbelina, sing.
Oh, Thumbelina, what's the difference if you're very small? When your heart is full of love, you're 9 feet tall.
Thumbelina, Thumbelina. Oh, we're off the air. Okay, now how do you not dance to that, everybody? How do you not dance to that? It just occurred to me. For those of you who are going to sleep, you've got your own innate bedtime stories, right? I mean, this has got to let you sleep more peacefully. And I think that's great. We have to do more bedtime stuff, I'll tell you. You know, There's another story that I have to share with you, and that is the story of Ugly Duckling and how that really came about. It was developed extemporaneously, much like Thumbelina. There was a time when Hans Christian Andersen was telling a story to a gathering of children in a park. And a little boy named Lars is hovered across the pond, afraid that he might be seen by the other kids. Now, the kids are shooed off to school, and Hans gestures for Lars to come close to him, and he does. He's sad, and when Hans asks him why he's so sad, Lars says, "Well, the kids will laugh at me. I'm sick, and my head is shaven, and I look funny without any hair." A contemplating Hans looks at the ducks in the adjacent pond and asks Lars, "Do you want to hear a story?" And then he tells him the story of the ugly duckling. And it was so healing to this little boy. Stories do heal. Shannon, that was lots of fun. I'm thinking that we need to do a classic or great oral storyteller series. What do you think?
I learned so much this week. I would love to learn what else would come out of the woodwork.
Right, yeah. And, you know, and there are really wonderful oral storytellers. When we think of storytellers, we certainly think of great writers. But oral storytellers kind of rock. I mean, they're the ones who create these images, and they allow us to become engaged in these magnificent, fantastic characters immediately. And we really do start experiencing them very sarcastically and very, very simultaneously. And we think about sarcasm, and we think about sardonic wit, and we think about the kind of emotions that we might feel. But it's not a matter of looking at something sarcastically and said, oh yeah, I just love to be a fairy tale character. It's a matter of really in doing it honestly and candidly. And I think that we need to do more of it. I do. So tonight is a spotlight on David Daniel Kaminsky, Danny Kaye, the consummate storyteller. Born January 18th, 1911, died March in 1987, and this is So What's Your Story with Dr. Hank and Shannon, and we are really pleased to be doing this because this is kind of new for us, but you know, this is what storytelling is all about, something special, something magical, and something educational. Now, next week, we do have a guest, and Shannon, tell us a little bit about this person. Her name is Blair. Without giving away the story, tell us a little bit about her.
Well, Blair is a fantastically artistic lady, and she has a very personal story to share. And she was brave enough to share it at the Moth, and so she's going to do it again for us, and
right.
Even
Thank
more.
You. That's where I'm marvelous. And yeah, and the Moth is a place where people go to tell great stories. It's at Studio Live, right, on Richmond. And you've been there, right? You were there with Roxy and
yes, sir, I certainly have.
And every other kind of juvenile delinquent who wanted to walk in, and you saw some great stories. And they're only given 5 minutes to tell these stories, so these are pretty remarkable tellers. And from what I know about Blair, you're certainly not going to want to miss her. In fact, you're not going to want to miss anybody that we're bringing on, because we've got Blair, and then we have our fun drive, and then we have some real crowd pleaser. We've got some kids from Johnston Middle School, and they are unbelievable. We've got some other Moth tellers coming on. We've got Peter Kim and a few other folks. We've got some people that are pretty special. And as we move into 2015, I think you're going to find that we've got probably the best year ever. Forget about probably. We will have the very best year ever. We will. Now, a peaceful Yom Kippur to our friends in the Jewish community. Don't go away, because Scooter is up next of the Inner Side to complete the backside of this Power Hour on KPFT. Make 90.1 a part of every day, and while you're driving home, turn in for the night. Or just chillin', join us every Thursday at 10 p.m. for So What's Your Story, and ease into the weekend right. You keep loving a great story, and I'm going to keep bringing them to you. Be good to each other. I'm Dr. Hank, reminding you that it's never too late to live happily ever after. Peace.